Oh, I'm so excited about this. So, Marisa Anderson is a wonderful musician based in Portland, Oregon. And she's coming to New Zealand for the very first time to perform at Port Noise Festival. I'd lovely sit down with her on a Saturday morning, and we're going to listen back to our chat right here. Place to start would be at the beginning. When did you first start playing music?
I was a kid. I had already taken recorder lessons for, you know, a little bit of time, and 3 years tag along on my mom's flute playing. And you know, but I think, you know, my mom had this idea that her kids needed to know how to swim and they needed to know how to read music, and that was her mission. And so that started at a pretty early age for me. But I think I became excited about it when I found the guitar at age 10.
What kind of music were your parents listening to when you were growing up?
My mom only listens to classical music and pretty much Baroque. So, you know, that's a lot of Bach, Handel, Haydn, whatever. And my dad, his taste ran towards classic country music. You know, it was the 70s, so it was whatever was the American radio country music of that time, to the hits.
There's so much space and peace in your music. I just adore it. There's this kind of wide open spaces, and then there's times where it's more kind of filled. What gets you in the zone for writing music like this?
That's a good question. Walking it, you know, without other input, you know, no earbuds, no phone, no, even maybe no companion, just walking and looking looking at the sky. Also driving, long drives, American West, you know, where you can drive as many hours as there are in a day over land. And you know, out here in the Western United States, there's roads where you can drive 500 miles and not see anything, you know. So a lot of my music is either to a walking pace or a long empty drive kind of pace.
Do you have a favorite walk that inspires you?
I don't necessarily. I'm not much of a hiker. I don't go into deep nature for that kind of feeling. It will definitely be more neighborhoody or edge of town. You know, I like a good landscape as much as anybody, but I also like things that are falling down, derelict and empty, and junkyards and things like that, you know. Kind of the edges, the frayed edges of things are interesting. I also like to find shortcuts, so I will repeat myself on walks in order to kind of find the little field that you can walk through, or, you know, see where the neighborhood shortcuts have kind of evolved, the vacant lot kind of ones, or, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of, I like to sleuth those out. So I have my paths, definitely I have my paths. Yeah, I don't have a lot of routine in my life. There's not I have to get up and go somewhere, the yeah. same place every day. So, you know, that makes it a little easier. And I spend a section of every year in Mexico City, because that's where my partner's from. And the walking there is just incredible. I mean, it's I'll often just start and have no idea, you know, and just be like, okay, where am I going to end today? I don't know, you know, and just get completely, because it's, you know, it's a huge city with every kind of thing going on the street, a very street oriented city. So that's another place that I really, really like.
It sounds like an urban walker's dream.
Especially at night. I really love to walk in the city center at night there. It's just beautiful.
When you go back to record it, do you have a special place that you record it in?
I mean, I have a part of my house that's set up to be easy. I don't have it always, you know, there's different, sometimes I'm just rehearsing because there's a run of shows coming up or something, you know, and then I don't have the recording set up.
Mm.
But, you know, a certain feeling will start to creep in and I'm like, oh, I better just set up the mics to be ready. And then they'll just stay ready, you know, until whatever, until they're not needed anymore. I like for it to be, you know, as quick as possible from, you know, oh, it's time. Turn it on, press the button, and then often just grab like maybe, you know, 45 minutes worth or an hour's worth. And then from there, I'll be like, oh, well, there's a couple good ideas in there, and then start to refine over time.
So when you sit down to write something that later becomes a song that you release, are you kind of just jamming out until an idea strikes that you think this could be a song?
It really depends. It really depends. It's more like I am trying to get back to the source of a feeling, you know? Like, it's not aimless, and it's not perhaps what the word jamming would imply. It's a little bit more like trying to connect with something that is both familiar and unknown at the same time. That's like, I don't know if it's within me or if it's something. I don't know where that comes from, but that's the feeling of it. I feel like it's a bit like cooking, you know, like if you cook, you know, if you cook regularly, you're like, okay, you know, like I got the basics of a soup. I don't need a recipe to make a soup, but like how you're going to do it that day is dependent on factors that maybe you're not even aware of, but you know when it's right, you know when it's like, oh, that's a good one. It's often that I'm motivated by sound itself, and music comes after that. You know, there's just certain sounds, like this certain like way that a guitar can sound that draws me in. And then from there, you know, you pull out and you're like, oh, that's a song.
Your music at times has been summarized as ambient Americana. How does it feel to be playing deeply rooted American music in today's society?
Well, like everything American, it's complicated. But what I've been focusing on for the last 2.5 years is an archive of music that I had a residency in, and I've been studying this archive. And the music that I've been listening to is from countries that the United States has been at war with for the last 50 years. So this music is from Southeast Asia, it's from the Soviet Union, and from the Arabic and Islamic worlds. And that is how I have been processing current events in the United States, is going deeply, deeply into this music that is from all the places that I've been told at different points in my life are
the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really powerful, I think. Yeah. I think everyone could take a leaf out of that. You've been collaborating a lot over your musical journey. Tara O'Neill, William Tyler, Luke Schneider, and Jim White. So what have you enjoyed about collaborating with the folk that you've collaborated with?
Yeah. You know, everybody's different and every project is quite different. So in terms of commonalities, I mean, I think I just really enjoy like getting into that deep space with someone and then learning what it's like for them in that space and then and responding to it. You know, what Jim and I do is very, you know, it's entirely improvised. We set up and then we play for an hour and we don't talk about it beforehand and we don't really talk about it afterwards. We just drop into it, but we've been friends for a long time. You know, we've been friends for, I don't know, a decade at least. And that friendship has you know, there's an element of that friendship that's very verbal, it's very chatty, we text a lot, or we're like, go out to dinner, or go on a walk or whatever. And then it's so nice to then enter into the music space with him, where it's a continuation of the, you know, the ongoing conversation that we have as friends, but it's just in the other language that we both speak.
I feel that is going to change the way that people listen to those couple of albums you've done with Jim, because they do sound quite conversational. I re-listened to the latest one last night And it's just, it's so kind of continuous and rhythmic, and it's just, oh, I love the work you do with Jim White. So I'm really, really excited to see you guys come down to Littleton in New Zealand and play.
Yeah, that festival's going to be great, Portnoy's.
It's going to be really good. So are you going to be improvising with Jim?
Improvisation, 100%. That's what we do. We don't make things ahead of time and then present them.
That's crazy. So if you miss out, it'll never happen again. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm going now. You're excited to come to New Zealand. What are you most looking forward to other than playing at this beautiful festival, Portnoy's?
Well, I hope to go on some good walks.
Oh, there's some great walks. I can promise you that.
Yeah. I'm excited about that and hope to have the time to. I'm excited that it will be summer because I'll be coming from winter. So it's nice to get a little summer in the middle of February, which is quite dreary in the Pacific Northwest. I'm excited to meet people, you know. Who's doing what? Like, what, you know, what's the vibe?
Marisa.
That was so beautiful, Mel.
Yeah, it was
a lovely corridor.
Lovely chat. Walkers unite, you know. As soon as she dropped the I love to walk, I was like, you know what, me too. Marisa Anderson and Jim White, that last track there was from their latest album they did together. It's going to be totally improvised, so I recommend you get your tickets for Portnoy's like right now because it's never gonna happen again.
Well, Portnoy's will, but
yeah, it is. Long may prevail, Portnoy's. But it's never gonna fall like that again between Marisa Anderson and Jim White. So yeah, get your tickets. And thank you to Marisa for talking to me.
Yes. You can get tickets from Humanitix or via the Portnoy's website, portnoys.co.nz, and that's happening across the 21st and 22nd of February 2026.
I'm so excited.
Ohineho, Littleton. Yeah, I'm excited for you. I'm gutted to miss Portnoy's, but I'm looking forward to hearing all about it, and the lineup just looks incredible.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good stuff. All right, we're going to go for a little break, ad break now. But do stay tuned. We have a single pass to the Christmas party coming up. And of course, what's the buzz? With the Drug Foundation.